All right.
So Sylvia kind of started us off on the right way. She was talking about kind of the message, really, about how like these times are like times that are seem to be able to get us down. And so this message is to kind of pull us out of that, really, is to pull us out of that with a bunch of truth and not Satan working in our minds. Okay, so that's where we're gonna start. And I was telling you last week. I said, listen, like there's been a lot of revelation, right? There was some crazy times last week. There was a lot of things that weren't going the way I thought they were supposed to go. And God spoke to me and gave me a lot of revelation. And some of that revelation was personal for me. And then some of that revelation is for all of you. And that's what you're gonna get today is the one that's for you. These are days of stress, right? They are days of stress, right? And it doesn't matter if it's coming from the outside world or if it's in your house or it's at work. It's days of stress, and we can see it everywhere, can't we? I mean, we can feel it. Yeah, you just know it's happening. And then the amount of stress seems to be increasing, like, a lot, really quick, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And that's why people think, like, maybe these are the end days, you know, because we're seeing such a rapid change, right? A rapid change in our country, a rapid change in our households, a rapid change in people's attitudes. All these things are happening, right? And when I start this, I'm going to go over some basic principles that we have to understand and believe. Like, we have to believe this stuff, because if we don't believe these basic principles, then everything else is useless. It really is. So the first thing that we're going to go through is God teaches us that He doesn't make mistakes. It says it in the Word, right? So either we believe this Word that we read in here, or we don't. Okay? And if we believe it, then we got to believe what's written in it, right? And He teaches us He does not make mistakes. If we look at Psalms 18:30. And I use the New Living Translation because that just makes more sense to me. And you're going to get what the computer says, as Kelly says, so that's okay. But listen to my words, and you can read along if you want. But Psalms 18:30, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield. Some say buckler. That might say buckler up there. I don't know. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. So first of all, we have to look to Him to get the protection, right? That's the first thing we got to pay attention to, right? He's a shield for all who look to Him for protection. So if we're not looking for Him, we're not going to get protected by Him very well, are we? It says it right there. If we go to Matthew 5:48, you're going to see, again, a proclamation. You are perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we have to believe that He is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes, right? The other principle we have to understand is we're all knitted, right? He made each one of us. He made each one of us our own being, right? He made us a certain physical way. He made us a certain mental way. He made us a certain emotional way. And when we were born, we were made to handle certain circumstances. We were made that way. He knew what we were going to be facing. And we're made to face those difficulties that we're going to be facing. From that point on, He didn't just make us born that way. He's continually shaping us. Every day, He's trying to grab a hold of us, and He's trying to tell us, like, listen, I'm going to build you better than you were before. I'm going to build you better than the way you were before. I'm going to make you into the person you never thought you could be. I look out here, and I see Sean, and I think of some things that we did when we were younger, and I've seen a big change in my life since that point. So that's what ends up happening, is God changes us. And He doesn't leave us. But He already kind of prepared us. He already built us a certain way. Okay? And we shouldn't be ashamed of how he built us, because we have certain qualities that he wants us to use. Now, he'll change us, but we have to allow him to change us, right? That creates some surrender. We have to surrender a little bit, right? And I learned real, like, over the years, it's taken me about 31 years to understand being with Kyla, that surrender makes your life easier sometimes. So when she puts your clothes out in the morning and she chooses the clothes for you, and even though you're not too comfortable in those clothes, you just put them on and do it because surrendering makes your life a little easier. Well, it's kind of similar with God, right? So if we surrender to God's will, maybe our lives will be a little easier, right? So it happens. It happens.
Hey, Randy, after you made your comment, I was looking at Carla's face.
Yeah.
She was giving me the face that you got to pay for.
That's okay. We get used to that stuff.
Oh, I know.
That's right. You start, I'm a shorts and jeans guy, right? Like, that's just how I roll. So that's what I'm most comfortable with. I do wear these to work, but because I have to. So it's a whole different ballgame. All right. So each time, each period of time, right? So we're in a period of time right now, right? And there was all kinds of other periods of time. There was the period of time when Christ was born, right? And everybody is born. God knew ahead of time, everybody was born to be in that particular time. You got to believe that. You got to understand that. So you were born for this particular time. You were born in a time that was going to be these type of stressors that are going to be out there. But you know what? God knew you and knew you would be able to handle it, and hopefully that you would surrender to his will so that you could handle it even better than an average person. Okay? And he gave us each purpose and gifts for this time period. Okay? You were built, you were given certain things. Now, whether you utilize them or not, that's up to you. If God says, hey, I gave you this gift of maybe compassion, and you don't use your compassion to comfort people, that's a choice you're making. And God gave you free will to make that choice. But really what he wants you to do is, if he gave you the gift of compassion, he wants you to use that. And he wants you to use that kind of like you used Sylvia today, right? That lady was standing there, she stops the car, and then some major good stuff happens, right? They get blessed. They get blessed. And you get blessed. So that's kind of the assumptions that we have to play on there, right? So you were made for this time period. He's changing us, but you got to allow him to change us, right? We were born in this time period for this time period. So you can take comfort in that. You can believe in that. He made us to handle every situation we face as long as we include him in the process. And we're going to read a lot of scripture about that. A lot of scripture about that. If you include him in the process, things are going to go better. They may not go perfect. They may not even go the way you want them to go. But they're going to be perfect, and they're going to work to what he wants you to do and how he wants to use the situation. So how do we do this is always the question. I'm sure you'd be saying that in your head. Like, so how do we get there? How do we do this? Well, Psalm 55:22 gives us a little hint on that. It says, give your burdens to the Lord. What does that mean when it says, give your burdens to the Lord? Who has the mic? When you're giving your burdens to the Lord, what are you doing? Who wants to say? Joe. Joe's got some.
You're giving all your sin and over to the Lord. It just frees your mind and your body.
Okay. So we're giving our sin over to the Lord, right? If you're going to unload your burden, sin is a good place to start, isn't it? All right.
And also, all the things that we care about, our fears, our anxieties, our worries, because this world is so full of it, you can't even avoid it, even as a child of God.
Right.
You know, so daily, I mean, I know I have to just keep seeking Him every day.
Yep. So.
You know, so turn everything over to Him.
Turn everything over to Him, right? So we're going to get attacked. Our minds are going to get attacked. We're going to talk about Satan attacking our minds. But we're going to get attacked. But we got to be able to take that attack and hand it over to Him and say, you know what? You're stronger than I am. You know better than I do. Right? So that's how we're gonna do it. We're gonna hand over our burdens. We're gonna give the burdens to the Lord. And then what's it say after that? And He will take care of you. He will take care of you. Now either you believe that or you don't. Right? Either you believe that or you don't. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. So, again, words mean something, right? He won't permit the godly to fall. So that means you have to be pursuing God, right? If you're not pursuing God, there's a chance you could slip and fall. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Give all your worries and your cares, because He cares about you. He cares about you more than you'll ever understand. More than I'll ever understand. It's crazy how much He cares about us. He cares about us so much that He gave His only Son to die, right?
Yes.
He cares about us so much that He forgives us every time we screw up. He shows us incredible mercy. We don't deserve it, but incredible mercy. Malcolm last week talked about the enemy's devices. Devices where the enemy attacks our minds. That's the number one place the enemy works. It's right in our minds. Right in our minds. And he is fantastic at it. Fantastic at it. And he can twist your mind in a second. He can work on your mind and let it cycle round and round. He can make little itty bitty issues become big, huge issues. That's his playground. That's what he loves to do. But we gotta fight against that, right? We gotta fight against that. Negative statements. I see more people doing negative statements towards themselves. And what you're doing when you do negative statements, like, bad things always happen to me. I can't get away from this issue. These negative statements, like just attacking us. If you open up and say those things, you're opening yourself up to a world of hurt. You're giving evil in the spirit realm power. You are. You are, and you don't even realize it. Every time you say, I can't, and God's saying, you should, you're giving spirits power that you don't want to have power. And they will eat you up. And sometimes you don't even see it. It's from the inside out. It's from the inside out. It's stirring on the inside. It's going to cause pain. It's going to cause emotional hurt. It's going to chew your brain up and your heart up and spit it out. And you don't want to be there. So let's not let it. Maybe our prayers, these are statements that I kind of hear a lot lately. I'm just like listening to people over and over again and hearing these statements. But maybe our prayers are not being answered all the way we feel it should. Have you heard that one lately? Man, I've heard that one crazy amount of times just in the last 2 weeks. Crazy amount of times. Maybe we've been praying for something for years and we don't see any change. I've been praying for this for years and I don't see any change. I've been praying for this person. I don't see any change. I've been praying for this circumstance. I don't see any change. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe there's a bunch of caregivers in here. Maybe they're caregivers who are looking after people, who are exhausted, stressed, frustrated, and don't think they have the endurance to keep going, and start to wonder, can I keep going? Can I keep doing what I'm doing? I'm just beat. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm worn out. Maybe we have an addiction. We've been battling for years and years and years and haven't overcome it. And that's kind of stirring in our souls, saying, I will never get over this. I just can't do it. I want to do it, but I just can't do it. The negative thoughts come in your head. You take a step forward, you take two steps back. Maybe we work in a school system and constantly under pressure, criticized from parents, colleagues, administrators, and think maybe the fight isn't worth it. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I'm getting whacked everywhere I turn, everywhere I look. Maybe we have marriage issues and they're popping up, or maybe they've been there for years. And we're starting to wonder, can I keep moving forward? Can I keep doing the same thing over and over again? Am I tired? Would it just be easier to change it up? Maybe somebody else could be better. Those are the thoughts that are going through our heads, right? Maybe you're in a job that's damaging you emotionally, physically. And you feel like you're stuck there forever and you have no way out. Like, what else could I do? Maybe you're making just enough money there that you're like, well, I got to stay here because I'm paying my bills. But you're so drained. You're so tired. And you're starting to say, maybe I should do a different job. And maybe you should. Maybe you should look to God's guidance. Maybe you should take a cut in pay in order to be better off. But that comes through prayer with God. That comes through consulting from God. Maybe God says, hey, you gotta stick it out, buddy. That's your job. That's your purpose. You may not be super happy, but it's providing for you. But again, it's all about what God's telling you. Maybe we look at what's going on in the world, we get overwhelmed, angry, depressed. Say, what's the use? Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to talk. Everybody's arguing with each other. I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. I feel like I try to talk rationally, and people are just like, whatever. I'm going to keep thinking the way I want to think. And you can't change my mind. And I'm thinking the same thing to them. Maybe that's going on. And it's only getting worse. Maybe God's challenging us to do tasks and keep holding back from... And we keep holding back because of fear. Maybe God's talking to you right now saying, I need you to do this. And you're saying, God, I can't. I'm too scared. Maybe God got something special for you, and you're stepping back away from it. I can't accept that good thing that you got for me. And you're justifying it. We're justifying in our heads. Because Satan's talking to us. And we're letting him. These are real situations many of us are going through. It's no... You see? They know. I know. Like, yeah! They're real situations, and it's no difficult. It's no different than what goes on in the Bible, and we can read about in the Bible. But if you're not reading about these stories of overcoming through Christ, then you're missing out. You're missing out on inspiration. Inspiration that will fight against what those evil thoughts are coming into your head. We got to be reading these things. You're talking about time and being exhausted and prayers for a long time. Let's look at Jeremiah. That's funny, we were at the elders' meeting and Joe brings up a scripture, and it really had to do with the scripture right before this one that I'm going to talk about. And I was like, man, that's what we're going to be talking about. So it just kind of goes along with what we're going to be talking about. Jeremiah 29:10. Now you got to understand, right before this, there was some discussion going on, and God was saying, like, listen, don't listen to the false prophets. Don't listen to the false leaders. Okay? They're in Babylon. They don't want to be in Babylon. Right? So he says, so this is the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Oh, that's great news, right? I don't want to be here. God says to him directly, hey, 70 years you're going to be there. Wonderful. Just what you want to hear, right? That's like, I mean, we're not talking a little time frame. We're not talking a month. We're not talking 10 days. We're talking 70 years. 70 years. God's time is different than our time, right? Sometimes we're in a place where we don't want to be for that long. And God's saying, hey, you're going to have to be there because that's what I want. And there's a reason for that most of the time. Actually, I would say all the time. Is he's trying to teach us stuff. He's trying to teach us stuff. And he's trying to build us. Every little circumstance that we've gone through. I remember when I was in high school. Like, I was stressed out because I didn't have Levi jeans sometimes. Levi jeans, like that. Like, if you didn't have Levi jeans, you get teased. And that stressed me out. I mean, I'm looking back at that saying, wow, what a waste of time that was. I mean, there's a lot worse things that come along the way, right? But God's kind of like building you up slowly because he knows we can't handle it all at once, right? He's kind of training us, right? He said, I used to have a comb in my back pocket. I need to comb my hair all the time. Look at what God did. He took it all away. That's what God does, right? Like, you don't have to worry about that. You got bigger things to worry about, right? That's what he's saying. You got bigger things to worry about. So sometimes we'll be in Babylon for 70 years, right? But you got to keep reading. But then I will come and do for you all the good things that I have promised. But then, after his time, after he's done with whatever he's doing those 70 years, that's when the good things are going to come. That's when the good things are going to come. And I will bring you home again. Boy, sometimes when you're away, even on vacation, you ever get back home and you're just like, oh, it feels so good to be home. It feels so good to be home. That was fun. But boy, I like being home. That's a good feeling. Right? For I know the plans you have, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. So even though they had to wait 70 years, the plan is for good. He does not want to hurt us. He does not want to hurt us. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. To give you a future and a hope. A future and a hope. In those days when you will pray and I will listen. Here's another criteria, right? When does he listen? After we pray, right? So if you don't pray, you ain't listening as much, right? We need to listen to God and not Satan. So these are some things that Satan says, and then I'm going to give you some scripture of what God says. This is what I hear a lot of people of. I'm not strong enough. I can't do that. I'm not strong enough. And then that cycles in your head. I'm not strong enough, so I step away. God says do something, you step away. You feel like you should move forward and you say, I'm not strong enough. I'm a weak little person. Well, let's see what God says about that. And this is how we should attack this stuff, right? So when you're getting pounded in your brain by Satan, this is what you do. You turn to scripture and you say, what does God really say about this stuff? What does God really say about this stuff? 2 Corinthians, and I could give you multiple examples on each one of these. So you can find them. You can find them. But I'm going to use just particular ones. 2 Corinthians 12:9. So in your brain, you're saying, I'm not strong enough, and Satan's talking to you. And what you say is each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So when you feel weak, his power is going to be greater. You can believe it. We could say it all day long. If you don't believe it, it's not going to work. You've got to believe what he's telling you. And he's saying it right there. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. So when you feel weak, what's it say? Boast about my weakness. Boast about it. What's it mean to boast? Talk about it. Show people I'm weak. It's okay to say that. It's okay to admit that. I'm weak. But you know what? I got this God, and he's making me do things I didn't think I could do. And he's made me stronger. And you know what? After it's all done, I'm going to give him credit. I'm not going to take the credit because I know I'm weak. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So when you accept Christ and you allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate into your body, now you got power. You got more power than you need. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So once we get that power, once we utilize that power, what are we to do? Spread the word. Spread the word. Tell people about it. Right? There's purpose in everything he does. All right, Satan says, hey, you can't get over this sin or stronghold. You've been battling this sin, this addiction, this thought habit for years and years and years. Probably since the day you were born, you've been listening to this stuff. You'll never, ever get over it. You can't stop it. It's stronger than you are. And Satan is right. It is stronger than we are. Until we give it up to the Lord. And God says in Titus 2:11 through 13. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasure. We are to turn from that. We're gonna. And we're gonna. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. So how do we do this? How do we turn from it? And then he gives us instruction. We're going to live in this evil world with wisdom. So how do you get wisdom? How do you learn? You learn from reading the Bible. You learn from listening to people who know God's will. That's where you get wisdom. Righteousness and devotion to God. You got to be devoted to God. You want to get over a sin? You need to turn up your devotion. You need to step it up a little bit more. Are you going to sin a lot when you're reading this book? If you are, that's crazy. There's no way I can sin when I'm reading this. Devotion. Turn up the devotion. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Right? Turn it up. Turn up your devotion. Rise up. Isaiah 40, 29-31. This is going to combine some stuff. This is the comeback, I have no energy. We are in a slumber in this country. We're sleeping. We're getting lazier. We're getting lazier. Things are too easy for us right now. You don't even have to drive your car barely anymore. I'm serious. Like, you get these new cars, we were just talking about it, that car will back into a parking space for you. Which is maybe good, I don't know. Some people can't back into a parking space very well. I don't know. But it's making us lazy. We're dependent. This country is dependent on everything. Look at the ships outside the country right now. We should not be dependent on all these other countries when we have the capability to take care of ourselves here. Right? And why is that? Because it's easier to go pay $3 for a t-shirt made in Taiwan. Right? Let's not be like that. Let's not be like that. Let's stop being lazy. And when it comes to the Word of God, we're getting lazier too. Because it all kind of ties in. Right? We get lazy in the world. We get lazy with our pursuit of God. And you feel like, I have no energy. I'm tired. I could sleep. I could take a nap right now. Take a nap right now. I could sleep. I could sleep. I don't want to. You know what? It's a lot of effort to pick this book up. Open it up. Find a spot. Oh, I don't like that spot. Okay, let's find another spot. Oh, he told me something I didn't like. Oh, man, I disagree with God there. Okay, let's find another spot. Oh, I like that one. Okay, so blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. That's a nice one. I'll read that one. Let's not be lazy. Let's put the effort in. When he tells us something that hurts us, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe we need to change our attitude. Right? I have no energy. I'm tired. Bob, you got some? Want to bring the mic to Bob?
My default setting, if you will, is trust in the Lord. I always go back to that. And I've had to reboot myself quite a few times in the last couple of weeks and months.
Mm.
And I'm looking for a sign. I'm looking for some logic explanation. The Amish community was interviewed this week, and how are you dealing with the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
They were offered outside help. No thanks, we'll take care of it. They got sick, some of the elders passed on, and they went on with their lives. Mm-hmm. They're independent. They're not worried about those ships that are anchored on, mm-hmm. off the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me some faith, mm-hmm. that we could become less dependent on what's guiding this nation right now, and just trust in the Lord that helped me through a tough time. Now, yep. It's like every day I'm going, what?
Yeah.
What did they just say?
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Whoop, time to reboot again.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes I overheat a little bit. Maybe I get a little wound up. But when I was on that vigil, the candlelight vigil,
yep.
in front of the Berlin Hospital, there were 200 candles lit for the 200 medical workers in North Country here that just lost it all. They lost their livelihood, their benefits, their wages, everything. And they don't know what they're going to do. And I said to a couple of them, trust in the Lord.
And that's what it's about, is trusting in the Lord, right? So sometimes we go through things in our lives that challenge, right, are challenging. And sometimes you feel like this is worth a sacrifice for, right? That's not being lazy, let me tell you that. Because now you got some challenges ahead of you. You got some challenges ahead of you. That's for sure. So Satan's saying, I have no energy. And we're going to go to, we got Isaiah up there? Yep, okay. Isaiah, he gives power and strength to the powerless. Again, you can see this, right? He's telling you, he's going to give you everything you need. He's going to give you power and strength, right? Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall on exhaustion. He knows we're going to get tired. He knows it's going to happen. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. And it goes back to what Bob just said. Trust in the Lord. That's the condition. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. If you don't trust in the Lord, you're not finding new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That sounds pretty good to me. You're tired. You think you can't do it? Trust in the Lord. Step out. Step out in faith. If you step, he'll step with you. Here's another one of Satan's lies. I'm not smart enough. I'm not educated enough. I hear this a ton. Oh, this person's smarter. That person's smarter than me. Hogwash. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord grants wisdom. Doesn't matter how much education you have. You get wisdom from the Lord. I know a lot of smart people who have zero common sense. Zero common sense. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people who are very wise that can't even read. And they are so much wiser than I am. So don't let those words get into your head. Satan says, you're not smart enough. The Lord says, I grant the wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You want knowledge and understanding? Look to the Lord. Proverbs 11:2. Pride leads to disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So you want to have more wisdom? Be more humble. If you're going to be prideful, and there's tons of pride going on these days, it's a battle I face. It's a battle I face. There's tons of pride. There's not a lot of wisdom. You're starting to say, I'm smarter than you. I know better than you do. There's not a lot of proof to back that up, but I'm saying it. Be humble. That's where wisdom comes. It says it right there. How about I'm scared or fearful? And we're going to be talking a lot more next week about this. This is the topic of next week, big time. I'm scared, I'm fearful. That is the number one controlling factor that Satan uses. And anybody who wants to control somebody else, make them fearful. Make them fearful. If I can make you fearful, I can control you. I can control you. And it's a dangerous place to be when you're controlled. Especially by Satan in evil ways. Joshua 1:9, however, says this. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. This is my command. He's not asking you to be courageous. He's commanding you to be courageous. God is commanding. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. Don't be panicking in front of people. Be strong and courageous. That was my life, was fear before I got saved. That was my life. For the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. Why can you do this? Footprints, that's why. Anybody know the poem Footprints? He's walking, he's carrying you. He's walking with you. Deuteronomy 31:6. So be strong and courageous! Exclamation point. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. Oh, I just read that, didn't I? I went from one to the other. For the Lord of God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. He won't fail you. He won't abandon you. But we got to move forward in that. We got to believe that. James 4:2. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. You don't ask God for it. We're scheming. We're trying to figure out ways to get what we want. We're looking for it, but we're not getting it. But that's because we're not asking for it. These are the things that we have to do. We have to ask for it. You have all these issues, Satan attacking your brain. You need to talk to God and ask for it. Ask Him, break those thoughts. Give me courage. Give me strength. Give me energy. It doesn't happen without asking for it. Sometimes we gotta ask for it with other people to help us, right? Maybe we need some intense prayer. Maybe we need to gather some people and we need to admit, like, I got this problem. I got this problem and I ain't overcoming it. I've been trying to do it on my own forever. I've asked God, and God said to me, get some other people. Pray together. Get strong. Break some chains. Step on the serpent's head with your feet. Scriptural. Let's smash smash the serpent. And even when you ask, you don't get it. Because your motives are all wrong. Maybe we're asking for stuff we're not meant to have. I'm pretty sure God doesn't want me to have $1 million. I'm pretty sure. I could buy 1 million scratch tickets and I ain't going to get it. I know it. I can feel it. I've leaned into that sometimes, and it hasn't happened. Right? And I think the reason is because he knows $1 million would destroy me. I can't handle it. I could give it to Rich and destroy him. But that's, he's telling me, I can't handle that. Something bad might come out of that, even though I want it. Maybe something bad would come out of that. I'm asking with the wrong motives. You want only what will give you pleasure. Right? We got to be careful of this stuff. It's not about my pleasure. This world doesn't revolve around Reggie. It doesn't revolve around you. I hate to break it to you. Except for Rich. But it just doesn't. And we're not always meant to be filled with pleasure all the time. Sometimes there's some hard work that comes into this. Sometimes there's hard work. God not only wants us to survive, though, he wants us to rise up. He's waiting for the Christian church right now. He really is. I really feel that. He's waiting for the Christian church to rise up. And we're not doing a very good job of rising up right now. We're not stepping out in faith enough. We're not pursuing God enough. We're not asking enough for the right motives. To fight against the challenges of this world. To fight against Satan's attacks against us. He's not into excuses. He really isn't. He doesn't want to hear your excuse why you can't do something. He wants action. He wants action. So let's not let excuses or fears tear us down and control us. God knows what we can handle when we surrender and move in his ways. He will not let us fail. He won't. He won't. You're tired. You've been taking care of somebody for a long time. You're exhausted. Lean into him. Lean into others. Ask for help. God will provide. God will provide. Your marriage is on the rocks. Lean into him. Ask others for help. You can survive this. You can work through this. But you can't do it on your own. And you can't ask for the wrong motives. God made us the way he knew we needed to be and has been preparing us over time to be able to face every circumstance of our life. Every circumstance. That includes the martyrs out there. They're getting killed and people say, how can they just do that? How can they stand there and refuse to denounce God, Jesus Christ, and be killed? And part of the reason is because they were made with a special gift to be able to do that. They can handle that. They've been prepared to handle that. And each one of those people, believe it or not, God knew it was going to happen. But he also knew that that person was going to be able to handle that. And we whine over here about different things. And he's prepared us to do certain things. And we're holding back while they're over there doing what they were meant to do. Give their life. We'll be able to handle every circumstance of our life. We're capable. We got the right person in our lives. And if we don't, we better find that person. We got the right person in our lives. But we got to do it. We got to step up and do it. We got to believe these words. We got to believe God more than we do Satan. When we struggle, it is because most of the time of our perspective. It's really a brain issue. It's our perspective is twisted. We're not looking through God's lenses. We're looking through Satan's lenses. The biggest stronghold hindrance we have is fear. But not all fear is bad. And we're going to talk about that next week. Not all fear is bad. Fear is there for a reason. But how we move in it is what determines how we do, how we grow, how we move forward, how we overcome, move mountains. Next week we'll be talking about three types of fear. The context of fear, where fear is coming from, and how we move in it. Determines how we stay strong in the Lord. Being able to have action we never knew possible. Becoming stronger than we ever thought. Not losing out on all we have that He has to offer us. Let's not lose out. Let's overcome. Let's trust in the Lord. Let's move forward. Let's be bold. Let's be energetic. Let's be wise. Right? So when God is attacking your when Satan's attacking your brain, you turn to God. That's the lesson, right? Don't be lazy. Dig this book out. Hear the hard words. Hear the hard words. Don't be scared. He's doing this to move you, to make you stronger. To fulfill His purpose through you. You have purpose. And we go through these ups and downs in our lives, and they're strengthening us. And He's getting prepared for the next thing that's coming. And right now, we better be getting ready in this nation to be getting ready for things that are coming. So I just want to end in prayer. Dear God, we just love You and thank You. We just know Your hand's at work. We put all our trust in You. I trust in You, and even though we have doubts and we struggle and our minds get twisted all around, we're going to pull into You more and more. We're not going to let Satan just push us down. We're not going to just sit there in turmoil, doubt, fear. We're not going to open up a bottle or snort something we shouldn't be snorting because we're trying to get away from this stuff. We're going to listen to You. We're going to rise up. Not because we're so good. You know how weak we are. But because You're so good moving through us. And we're going to pursue You more and more. But we need You. We need You to give us that confidence. To build our strength. We just love You and thank You. Amen.
Recording stopped.
She ain't done.
Wow, thank you, Reggie.